After years of witnessing terrible advice on Facebook groups, LinkedIn threads, and my own MBA program, I'm about to say something that may be shocking. Everything you've ever learned about generating leads and growing your business is wrong. Everything you've ever heard, everything you've ever tried, and everything you've ever done is wrong. I know it sounds harsh, and the concept could be hard to swallow, but bear with me, please. You've likely tried numerous approaches and spent countless hours and copious amount of money in the name of marketing. In this brief presentation, my mission is to unveil a system for marketing your business, a system so potent that your prospects won't just choose you. They'll think that doing business with anyone else at any time, anywhere, or at any price would be foolish. I can't tell how many business owners I've come across wearing a badge of honor that they don't do marketing. But before you shut your brain down, please listen to this video and please understand that this is a foundation to building your business, even if you don't need customers right now. When you have the right customers at the right time, consistently, that's really important to reaching that $1 million annual revenue goal, especially if you don't have deep pockets filled with cash. I'm here to guide you on transforming your marketing and advertising by leveraging what you're already doing. And I'm not talking about radical changes, just subtle common sense shifts, maybe 3% in one area, 5% in another. Small changes that enable you to elevate your marketing results and in the process emerge as a dominant force in your industry. This presentation is your ticket to discovering how to achieve massive leverage in your marketing. That means more bang for your buck, return for your investment, and more impact for the same effort you're putting in right now. Are you wondering why this will let you rule your market? Simple. Most businesses don't know how to do this. They don't grasp the untapped potential within their marketing. Most businesses spend some money on marketing and advertising and then decide whatever results that they get from the marketing is probably about as good as it'll get. Let me be absolutely clear. Nothing could be further from the truth. The system that I'm going to share with you today relies on timeless principles of human nature. No matter what platform or latest social media channel, people always aim for one thing, to make the best buying decision, period. It's that simple. So your job, your responsibility isn't to boast about your greatness or completely, solely compete on price. Instead, your goal is to power your potential buyers, handing them the control to make a decision for themselves by providing them more information to convince them that you're the unmatched value for their money. This system is a marketing and advertising breakthrough, yet it's remarkably straightforward. It works without fail every time it's implemented correctly, no matter your business or industry. I'll introduce you to some common sense marketing principles that you can instantly validate and adopt. Principles that will paint a vivid picture of what your marketing should look like, and just as crucially, what it shouldn't resemble. So let's get started. Let's break down the anatomy of any marketing plan into two components: strategic marketing and tactical marketing. Strategic marketing is the content of your message. It's what you use and how you say it, including the concepts that you choose to focus on, the words and images you use to communicate those concepts, and the tone of which that message is delivered. Tactical marketing, on the other hand, has to do with the execution of strategic marketing, such as placing ads, building a website, attending trade shows, and things like that. If I asked a business owner about their marketing plan, the answer almost always comes out into the tactical side of marketing. They send direct mail, run pay-per-click ads, and create a website, those kinds of things. If you're going to take away anything from this video, here's the pivotal insight. Mastering effective marketing lies in the strategic side, not the tactical. What you convey in your marketing and how you say it typically trumps the specific medium you choose. Both do play a role, but the true power is embedded in the message itself. In fact, when a marketing effort falls short, the reaction too often is to point fingers at the medium or the timing of the campaign, or even throw up their hands and say, well, I guess no one wants this. The criticism and blame often fall on the tactical part of the plan without assessing the quality of the strategy behind the campaign. During this presentation, you'll learn how to see things differently. Think of Neil seeing the matrix for the first time. From now on, you'll see the matrix too, and it'll point to a profound difference in your marketing results. This system has been successfully implemented by over 400 different industries, including construction companies, manufacturing companies, software companies, business brokers, accountants, financial companies, retail stores, real estate companies, home builders, restaurants, doctors, dentists, e-commerce, business coaches, social media consultants, contractors, and anything and everybody else that you could think of. Our lead generation system and our proprietary profit acceleration software works with all sizes of business, from startup clear up to Fortune 500 companies. This system is your ticket to break free from price competition and get the value your product or service deserves. You'll attract a flood of leads, often witnessing a surge in your response, ranging from double to a staggering 100 times. Your lead conversion rates will soar, transforming your sales team to undeniable superstars. You'll witness a boost in your average sale amount and your roster of committed long-term clients or customers who not only pay you, but stay and refer. In short, you'll get more mileage out of every marketing dollar you spend. Then, perhaps the cherry on top of this ice cream sundae, you'll at last feel a sense of control over your marketing outcomes. But before we can move on in the formula, we need one fundamental definition. What is the actual purpose of marketing? I mean, what is marketing really supposed to do? Do you feel like it's some kind of mystical creature swimming in the ocean, or maybe Sasquatch? People claim they've seen it, but you've tried and it never seems to work. Here it is. The only objective to marketing is to help facilitate your prospect's decision process. Simple as that. There are prospects out there that want to buy what you sell. Sometimes they need to be educated to the fact that they need to buy from you in the first place. And sometimes they already know what they want, but they need help deciding who we should buy from. Often they'll think about what you might sell, but they have questions or concerns that they need to overcome before they're ready to pull out their credit card or ask for an estimate. But consider this. Because these prospects are not experts in what you do, or their exposure to what you sell is quite low, they don't really know the relevant issues surrounding the price. They don't know how to make the best decision. They can't tell the difference between the best deal and a major mistake, which leaves you with an opportunity to provide them with this information and then guide them through the buying process. All prospects and customers want the exact same things, and it really doesn't matter what type of business you have. They want to feel confident that their money is being well spent. They want the best deal, not just the best price, but the best deal in terms of overall value. People instinctively want to make the best decision possible and not feel like they have to second guess their buying decision. And then show them with quantifiable proof that you provide the best deal in terms of price and value. All this has to be communicated to them in a way that they'll pay attention to, believe in, then take action on. Prospective buyers want and need to feel educated and confident when they make their purchase decision, and no one's providing it. But here's the good news. The first one who provides prospects with this information wins the most profitable customers available. When marketing is not done correctly, the end result is 100% predictable. You start to feel intense pricing pressure from your prospects, often succumbing to slashing prices, eroding margins, and earning far less than your business can in order to stay competitive. Plus, you'll have to spend more time at work and away from your family than those that are successful. And here's the brutal truth. If you're consistently stuck in price competition, it's because there's no clear distinction between you and your competition. No additional parameters or relevant issues have been introduced to educate your prospects about what truly constitutes the best value when purchasing your offer. If you feel like you're in a consistent battle on price, it's because you've only presented price as the significant variable for your prospect to consider. Everything seems identical, leading them to default on the business with the lowest price. It's not your fault. Every business school teaches the same outdated theory based on a flawed model, but not you any longer. I'm about to guide you on fixing this once and for all. Picture this. Your business has two facets. First, there's what we call the inside reality, and the second is the outside perception. The inside reality encompasses everything that defines your business: your skills, your team, your expertise, your customer service practices, operational procedures, and your unwavering commitment to excellence. It's the passion, the dedication that shapes your daily business operations. Collectively, these elements represent your value in the marketplace. That's the inside reality. However, your outside perception relates to how customers and prospects perceive your company based on their interactions with your business. The challenge lies here. Even if you provide unparalleled customer service and your existing customers adore you, none of that matters to your prospects if, first, they aren't aware of your existence as an option, or second, when they encounter your marketing or advertising, they perceive, due to marketing missteps, that you're no different, no better, or no worse than your competitors. I'd venture to say that well over 95% of businesses struggle with marketing competence, leading to significant disparity between their inside reality and the outside perception. That's why your marketing must do the heavy lifting for you. Let your marketing usher in eager, qualified prospects into your sales funnel. Everyone looks at social media as the end-all and be-all of their marketing problems. The reality is, social media is a magnifying tool that amplifies mediocrity and screws up marketing on a broader scale with bland messages that have nothing to do with facilitating the decision-making process of your prospects. Yes, social media is important. It's a huge tool in your marketing arsenal, but you need to have messages that put the customer first. A great website, a landing page, and a funnel that captures leads. And that means we'd better fix that strategic messaging we've alluded to, or you're going to fail. I told you at the beginning of this presentation that everything you know about generating leads and growing your business is wrong. Let me clarify what that statement means based on what we've discussed so far. For decades, we've been conditioned to do marketing the wrong way. In the very early days of advertising, I'm talking about the late 1800s and early 1900s, much of the advertising that existed back then was comparative in nature. Ads wouldn't just say, hey, we're better. They'd say, we're better, and here's exactly why based on this and that. On average, they did a pretty good job of building the case and helping prospective buyers understand the important issues in regards to their particular product and service. The result was an outside perception that generally was a good reflection of the inside reality. Then, the most significant event in history of marketing and advertising occurred in 1945. Television was commercially introduced. Until then, total national distribution of an advertising message was extremely limited to print, radio, or in newspapers, and a few magazines or catalogs. But with the introduction of TV, large advertisers could buy a TV commercial and reach just about everyone in the country for $4,000 a minute, usually sold in 1 to 2 minute blocks. What a bargain, even in 1950s money. But back then, there were only 3 channels, so demand quickly outstripped the supply of the commercials and prices shot through the roof. In response to the rising costs, the length of commercials shrank down from 2 minutes to 30 seconds. This meant that advertisers had less time to educate us to the importance and relevance of the issues and build a case of why they were different or better or unique. So instead of attempting to use shorter ads that highlight their comparative benefits, advertisers changed to tactics and started using slogans. That change made it harder and harder for a company's outside perception to accurately reflect its inside reality. When running just 30-second ads, getting attention was still not a problem for these advertisers. But then what? That's right. After you grab the prospect's attention, you must then facilitate their decision-making process. Companies and their ad agencies found that this was a lot harder to do in only 30 seconds. But they also found out that they didn't really need to do it because of the number of real competitors, that is, the number of competitors that could actually afford to advertise on TV and run ads, were wonderfully few. They could spend a ton of money running 30-second ads and win by default. Now, if there happens to be two or three major competitors jockeying for the same prospect, like a Pepsi and Coke, that was fine because there's plenty of business to divide between two to three ways. The bottom line is that the company's inside reality and outside perception didn't really have to match up. The lack of substantial number of choices eliminated the necessity. So the focus for all marketing and advertising shifts simply to getting the prospect's attention. That's when advertising lost its focus on selling and instead shifted its focus to creativity. The idea now was to get in the customer's brain with something creative that would stimulate them and cause them to recall the product later on when they needed it. That's when slogans became the de facto marketing standard that is still used today. Think 15 minutes can save you 15% or more on car insurance, or Breakfast of Champions, or Home of the Whopper. That's just a few examples. This new creative approach took over advertising as we know it, and it soon became the filter to all other advertising media, including radio, newspapers, magazines, billboards, websites, Google AdWords, you name it. Once this new creative message was in place, the big companies opened up their checkbooks, spent lots of money, and basically gave people no other option but to remember their message. After hearing Bounty, the quicker picker upper, for the 853rd time, you're going to remember it whether you wanted to or not. We call this C and R advertising. C for creativity and R for reputation. Create the ad as unusual, weird, shocking, funny, emotional, and so on. Spend $1 billion running the ad about 1 million times and then haul your bag of cash down to the bank. We call this era brand builders. And in the 50s, 60s, and even 70s, it was a no-brainer formula for market dominance for most companies with the financial capacity to pull it off. And that's when this happened. Ad agencies started running this formula for all other clients, even the smaller ones that didn't have deep pockets. Business schools started teaching marketing and advertising based on these methods that were being successfully implemented by the largest companies in the world and turned out graduates who only knew one way to do marketing. Brand builder marketing and advertising became the de facto standard for all that you do. And after a few years, no one even questioned the formula, which brings us to the crux of the problem. All of us alive today, with no exceptions, grew up in an era where almost all of the advertising you've ever seen or heard is a product of this brand builders era. Over time, we've all become conditioned as to what constitutes a good advertisement. We've learned the fundamental pattern for a commercial. We've learned about slogans and jingles and being funny. We learned that in marketing and advertising, the outside perception no longer has to reflect inside reality. Let me repeat what I just said at the very beginning of this presentation. Everything that you've ever learned about generating leads and growing your business is wrong. And now you know why. And once you know something, you can't unknow it. So here comes the good stuff. In advertising, you see and hear jargon all the time. Since businesses only have 30 seconds to try to convey what makes them special, they lump everything into jargon, such as largest selection, most professional, lowest prices, highest quality, best service, fastest, most convenient, largest in the state, more honest, we're experts, we specialize, we work harder, gets the job done right the first time, and been in business for 4,000 years. Now listen, I'm not saying that you shouldn't use those kinds of things. Those actually make up the foundation to what builds your inside reality. But consider this, if my marketing says that I offer highest quality and great service, isn't that really predictable? doesn't it lack the power to evoke interest through overuse and repetition? Don't businesses state this all the time and they're not original or significant? Does my inside reality, what I do really well, does that really shine through using those words? Can you tell me specifically what makes me valuable in the marketplace when I say highest quality or best service? See, simply put, you can't describe, demonstrate, exhibit, reveal, or display inside reality using this kind of jargon. It's impossible. And unfortunately, the end result is an outside perception that you're no different than anyone else. There's absolutely no distinction, no separation, and no differentiation. None. You just flat out can't make inside reality and outside perception match up when you use jargon like this. In fact, let me give you a way you can easily and quickly evaluate your own marketing to see if you're caught in the jargon trap. This evaluation is what I endearingly call the "well, I hope so" test. When you make the claim, don't think about it in terms of what's coming out of your mouth. Think about it in terms of what's entering your prospect's ears. This will enable you to realize just how absurd most jargon sounds. Look at the messaging in your marketing and then ask yourself if the prospect's immediate response might be, "Well, I hope so." Let me give you an example. I recently saw a Facebook ad for a home remodeling company. Throughout the ad, they continuously emphasized that there was highest quality, it was fairly priced, and they guaranteed 100% satisfaction. "Well, I hope so." Would you hire any remodeler who didn't provide all of those standards as a part of their service? Of course not. This is all jargon, and it lacks the power to evoke interest because it's overused and it's been repeated too many times. How about the one from a consulting company? Our training leads to change. We increase the productivity, performance, and profit of your company. "Well, I hope so." Does anyone hire a consultant for any other reason than to do those things? Most ads today are nothing but a jargon fest. Does jargon really tell you something about these companies inside reality? What else do you expect for them to say? Everyone will always want to say wonderful things about their company if they can get away with it. The problem is that if your company has an exceptional inside reality and you're using the same jargon as everyone else, the outside perception is that you and everyone else is the same. And then that's when the prospects default to the company offering the lowest price. Price now becomes the only determining factor. When you simply use this evaluation, ask yourself openly and honestly why anyone would choose you over your competition. Then evaluate your answer against the "well, I hope so" evaluation. And finally, check out all of the advertising and marketing materials included in your website. Do they pass the "well, I hope so" evaluation, or are they all full of jargon? If they are, then you need to make some changes, and it won't be hard. Stop thinking in terms of who else can do what you do. Instead, think in terms of who else can say what you say. Let me give you an example. I know a kitchen remodeler who ran an impressive company in his community. Everybody loved him. Every member of his crew had at least 15 years of experience. They were certified subcontractors. They had won multiple industry awards. They were the only kitchen remodeling company that provided not only full satisfaction guarantee, but also a 10-year material and labor warranty on everything that they did. They left the job site every night cleaner than when they first arrived. They also guaranteed that they could remodel a kitchen in no more than 5 days, half the time of their competitors. This, of course, meant far less disruption and inconvenience for the homeowner. In short, their inside reality was literally second to none, but they had a huge marketing problem. Their marketing looked virtually identical to their far less worthy competitors. Their marketing said things like certified contractors, guaranteed satisfaction, and then a long laundry list of the work that they performed, such as new cabinets installed or complete kitchen remodeling and so on. Oh, and get this, they accept Visa and MasterCard too. "Well, I hope so." But then ask this question, who else can say that? When the owner of this company was asked the very same question, he got really defensive. He said, there's no other remodeler that can begin to match the work that we do. Our subcontractors are the best there are. No one, and I mean no one, can say what we say. Understandably, this contractor was extremely passionate and protective when it came to the superior service and the company that he had worked so long and so hard to develop over the years. For me to get the point across to him, we pulled up the websites of his five biggest competitors, and we'll just say his jaw hung open for about 2 minutes straight before he finally pointed to the screen and said, oh my gosh, look at this other company's website. I know this guy, he's terrible, but his site says exactly the same as mine. I think he copied it word for word. He then looked at the other remodelers and saw that all of their websites were virtually identical to his. So remember, it's not who can do what you do, it's who can say what you say. And if your marketing is full of jargon, then sadly the answer is all of your competitors can. Is it evident that this might be a problem for you now and also a tremendous competitive advantage if you figure out how to fix your own business? Let me show you how to fix this. Let me explain how you can follow a very simple process using what we call the conversion equation. And when you do, you will eliminate jargon forever. I'm going to show you how to become a marketing powerhouse, to make your outside perception become an excellent reflection of your inside reality, and finally begin to get the results from your marketing that you should be getting. The conversion equation has four major components. Let me start with a brief introduction and then I'll go into more detail on each of these things. The first component is what we call interrupt. This is simply the process of getting qualified prospects to pay attention to your marketing. This is often accomplished by affecting the prospect emotionally. Sounds simple, right? But unfortunately, it's a lot more difficult to pull this off in real life, unless you understand what you're about to learn now. The second component is engage. Once a prospect is interrupted, it's critical to give them the promise that the information forthcoming will help them make the best decision possible, or in other words, facilitate their decision-making process. This is also best accompanied on an emotional level. The third component is educate. Once you've interrupted and engaged the prospect, you have to give them information that allows them to logically understand how and why you solve that emotional problem. This accompanied by giving detailed, quantifiable, specific, inside reality revealing information. This turns a corner from the emotional cell. Remember, you interrupted and engaged based off of hot button issues, to a logical cell. This is easy to do if you just follow the conversion equation. And the fourth and final component of the conversion equation is offer. Now, the prospect has been interrupted based on problems that are important emotionally, engaged by a promise of the solution to that emotional problem, and they've examined the educational information that makes your solution to that emotional problem real and believable. So the last step is to give the prospect a low, and better yet, no risk way for them to take the next step in the sales process. This can be accomplished by offering a free marketing asset, such as a report, brochure, video, or something similar. Something that educates them even more, so the prospect feels in complete control of the decision-making process. The conversion equation follows the formula for what marketing is supposed to do in the first place. In fact, at this point, we can simply say that your marketing's job is to interrupt, engage, educate, and offer. Creativity in advertising has the number one job, which is to dream up something weird and strange and shocking, so unusual. So attention-getting that it'll snap someone out of their state of autopilot. This is the first element, interrupt. But here's the key. Here's what no one else seems to understand, and what just may be the most important thing you'll learn in this presentation. Once the brain is activated, it wants to be engaged. So it immediately and subconsciously searches for additional clarifying information. The brain wants to know, hey, what's this all about? How does it affect me? Do I need to do anything about this? Literally, on a subconscious level, the brain goes on a fact-finding mission. The bottom line is the brain wants to know, how is this important and relevant to me? Should I allocate my conscious bandwidth to this? So it searches for additional facts. If it finds them, it will become engaged. If not, it will quickly revert back to autopilot. We call these important, relevant issues hot buttons. If you're a golf fan and you detect that Tiger Woods is on the television and notice that on a conscious level, Tiger Woods is familiar, his presence kind of interrupts you, then your brain immediately asks, hey, what's Tiger Woods doing with driving a Buick? Is there anything that's relevant or more important to me? Or in other words, is there a hot button issue for me to make a change in what I'm doing in my life right now? What typically happens is your brain determines that the Buick is not important or relevant to you at this time. It doesn't do anything to solve your problems, and therefore it's not a hot button for you. And so your brain immediately reverts back to autopilot. And let me be crystal clear here. The interrupt is something that snaps the person out of their autopilot state and is based on something that's familiar, unusual, or problematic. But the interrupts can also be classified as a hot button issue if, and only if, it's based on something that's important and relevant to your ideal prospect. Your best bet to successfully interrupt and engage your target market is to identify problems, frustrations, uncertainties, and annoyances your prospects have, and then address them in your headline or the first words in your script. Their pain, in most cases, is their hot button issue. And please don't think that this is some kind of form of manipulation. All we're doing here is tapping into problems that your prospect already has so that we can serve them better and faster. We're not trying to manufacture a crisis for them. We're merely highlighting their problems so that their subconscious mind notices, brings us up to their active radar screen. And now here's the key point in all of this, and no one seems to quite understand it, especially big agencies, is how to make this all work for you. The interrupt that you use must be a relevant hot button issue. If not, the prospect will momentarily be interrupted, but then will quickly revert into their autopilot state. This is one of the things that almost no one understands, and one of the main reasons everything you've ever learned about marketing is wrong. We've been conditioned to believe that as long as you interrupt your prospect, that's it. It's good enough. The job is done. But you have to realize that if you only interrupt your prospect, that's only 1/4 of the conversion equation. You've got to include all four components: interrupt, engage, educate, and offer, to get the maximum results for your marketing and advertising. Now, when it comes to actually writing the marketing, we typically like to portray the hot button issues in some form of a headline. The headline is the first opportunity you have to interrupt John or Jane Doe. You've got maybe 1 to 3 seconds max to interrupt your prospect. You'd better make sure that the headline works with the message and that it's important and relevant to that prospect. Remember, hot button words and phrases that describe problems, frustrations, or concerns that your prospect is feeling, so that their subconscious mind latches onto them, snaps them out of autopilot and into conscious awareness. In print advertising, magazines, newspapers, and so forth, the form of the headline is obvious. In radio, the headline is the first sentence they hear, or in Google AdWords, it's the first bit of text they read. On television, it's the first thing they see or hear. In brochures, business cards, other marketing collateral, and your company's website, it's the first thing they see. Let me give you a quick example. When I ask most daycare providers why parents should choose them instead of the 17 other local daycares, they almost always give me the same boring answers. High quality, attention to detail. We supervise our staff better. We're honest. We've taken care of more than 200 kids, and so on. But that's nothing but jargon. Unfortunately, this exact same jargon shows up over and over and over again. For instance, when I looked at the marketing of various daycares, they said things like safe, nurturing, and a creative environment. Optimize your child's development. Acclaimed by thousands of parents, accredited by industry professionals, a leader in early childcare and education. Those were all real headlines from real ads, jargon on top of jargon. But note this as well. These headlines all speak to the daycare, not the prospect. You could place "we" in front of all of those words, and it would fit perfectly. We optimize your child's development. We're acclaimed by thousands of parents. We're accredited by industry professionals. Prospects don't care about the daycare. They care about themselves and their kids. None of those headlines address the problems or the concerns of parents, do they? If you really want to interrupt them, you've got to use much more powerful language than that to get them to respond on an emotional level. How about this headline to effectively communicate the concept of safe, nurturing, and creative environment? How about something like, "Ever felt like your daycare treated your child like a number instead of a little person?" Or how about this one to convey a leader in early childhood care and education? Is your daycare's idea of good educational curriculum watching Barney on TV? Or how about this one? Introducing a daycare center that doesn't consider mac and cheese to be one of the four major food groups. All three of these headlines work in tandem with close-up pictures that work to reinforce powerful and compelling messaging. That headline that said, "Ever felt like your child was treated like a number instead of a little person?" Next to it is a four-year-old sitting in the corner with his head buried in his hands crying. Talk about powerful, emotional, and compelling. Talk about interrupting. See how these headlines speak to the issues of the prospect instead of the daycare? See how they reflect a fantastical attention to detail as the foundation of the daycare's inside reality. Of course you do, because it's obvious. Okay, to wrap up this discussion about interrupt and engage, let me address the topic of engage specifically for a moment. To successfully engage, all you have to do is use a headline or a subheadline that promises the reader that if they keep reading or listening to the ad, they will get information that they will need to facilitate their best decision possible. Not sales information, not "here's, we've got this," not "here's how we are" information, but rather bona fide decision-making information. Sometimes the headline itself will engage, but more frequently it's a subheadline that makes the promise to educate and therefore engages. Let's go back to the daycare ad and continue that example. Remember the one that had the headline that said, "Ever felt like your daycare treated your child like a number instead of a little person?" The follow-up sub-headline would simply say, "How to ensure your child gets personal, loving, caring, one-on-one attention at daycare." Or the headline that said, "Is your daycare's idea of good educational curriculum watching Barney on TV?" The follow-up headline that engages might say something like, "How would you like your child to be reading at a first grade level before starting kindergarten?" In both cases, these subheadlines clarify the first headline and let the reader know that if they keep reading the ad, they can expect to find specific details regarding each one of these hot button issues. In short, these subheadlines engage. And that brings us to the third and fourth components of the conversion equation: educate and offer. I mentioned earlier in this presentation that every marketing piece should contain a no-risk offer to encourage the prospect to take the next step. And that offer should generally be receiving additional information, or in other words, to further educate the prospect and to build a case. Now, here's the real key to success in marketing. The right offer allows you to capture a large percentage of future buyers in addition to those who are looking to buy right now. There's an educational process that the prospects go through from the moment they begin looking to buying into a product or service to the point where they actually complete that purchase. Most marketing only caters to those now buyers who will be making purchasing decisions in the near future and does very little to educate those who are just thinking about it right now, but might buy later. Here's the problem with that. At any given moment, a number of prospects who are ready to buy from you represents only 1 to 3% of those who are ultimately going to buy what you sell. You've got 97 to 99% of your prospects who are still thinking about it and gathering information. But when they're tempted to gather information, you don't give it to them. This is where the fourth component of the conversion equation becomes absolutely huge. Your offer gives you the opportunity to provide additional educational information to those in that gathering information mode. And in the process, capture valuable information about who these people are, so you can proactively market to them on an ongoing basis. This allows you to keep total control of your target market. The daycare that we've been talking about makes a perfect example for this. Many times, parents that see the ad for a daycare already likely have a daycare. But when they see the ad, like, ever felt like your daycare treated your child like a number instead of a little person, it sparks some interest. And they might remember those. These powerful ads could easily compel as many as 10, 15, or even 25% of parents who read them to seriously contemplate changing daycare services. But if the ad's only offer is the typical one that daycares put in their ads, call for a free consultation, then none of those future buyers are going to call. Why would they? If you're not ready to make a change, why on earth would you want a free consultation right now? You just wouldn't. Furthermore, the ad itself is relatively limited in size. The daycare can't possibly give an entire case for all of its associated evidence of why they're the best in that ad. It just simply won't fit. This is why we recommended that the daycare provide what we call an informational offer. If they offered everyone interested in a free report titled 10 Things Your Daycare May Not Tell You, this report uncovers the 10 critical areas all parents must know to investigate before placing their kids in any daycare service. This revealing report compares 17 most popular daycares against each other in all 10 of the areas, saving the parents time, effort, and energy when making all of the important decisions for their child. But here's the really neat part about having this type of offer. How many of those readers do you think are ready and waiting to relocate their kid from their current daycare to this daycare? And we're so relieved to see this ad because they could finally make a switch. My guess is maybe it's about 1% are now buyers. But because the headline, subheadline, and images were so powerful, because they do such a good job of interrupting and engaging, a lot more parents who are not ready to buy right now at this exact minute are going to see those ads, pay attention to them, and be interested. When the parents do call in or go online to request a free report, the daycare can now capture the prospect's contact information and proactively market to them from now until forever. Then the daycare could set up what we call a drip campaign to consistently and repeatedly follow up with these interested parents and keep providing them additional decision-making information until they finally do become ready to buy. Depending on what you sell in the specific situation, there are actually 8 different types of informational offers that you can offer your prospects. And if you want to dominate your marketplace, you've got to get your offers right as well. Hopefully this is all coming together to you now. Daycare is just one example, but think about an idea guide for a landscaper or a code of ethics brochure for a circuit board manufacturer. The concept is transferable to any industry. Interrupt, engage, educate, and offer make up that conversion equation. And the equation is literally the backbone of all the incredibly successful marketing campaigns we've ever put together. So let's go ahead and wrap this up. This was a deep dive, and you can probably tell that there's a lot of information that I want to give you. The thing is, I can't transfer all that information into one simple video, but I do have a step-by-step system that helps business owners just like you become financially free using superior marketing that makes your phone ring. But it's not just marketing. In every business, there are 5 possible ways to grow. When each area is optimized, you have a successful business. With that, we've developed a system that enables us to walk into any business, anywhere in the country, and find the business a minimum of $100,000 in additional revenue and do so in less than 45 minutes. You've heard it right, $100,000 in additional revenue in less than 45 minutes. Let me show you how it works. Here's the core of business: foundational elements, leads, conversions, transactions, and profits. Too many business owners are fooled into thinking that the path to grow is found in the latest social media tactic, and they get distracted instead of taking time for a comprehensive and systematic examination of the core strategic possibilities. Let me show you. Under foundations, we have four possibilities. Strategy and conversion equation is one of those elements in a strategy. Market dominating position, policies and procedures, and positioning of trust, expertise, and education. Under leads, there's referral systems, joint ventures and alliances, publicity and PR, direct mail, advertising, digital marketing, and so many more options. Under more conversions, we have five distinct categories: compelling offer, scripts, initial close rates, follow-up close rates, and drip campaign. Then we have more transactions, where you can grow your business through a sales team, more appointments, additional products and services, increasing frequency of purchase, downsell, and reactivating former customers. And finally, under our section of more profits, we could look at options like increasing prices, increasing the longevity of the buying relationship, upsell and cross-sell, bundling and cutting costs. All this makes up the core. And believe it or not, it's even more complex than I'm making it out to be. For example, with your sales team, you have to consider this: the sales manager, compensation models, hiring and managing the superstars, training, prospects and lists, trade shows, dream clients, dealing with decision makers, closing the sale, buyer's remorse and order fulfillment, among many more. And what about digital marketing? You have to consider content, search engine marketing, social bookmarking, search engine optimization, data science and analytics, copywriting, e-commerce, behavioral, networks, local, blogging, reputation, affiliates, live video, email, your website, mobile marketing, link sharing, paid advertising, conversion optimization, and social media. And then we could go even deeper, because in social media, we can look at Facebook, TikTok, LinkedIn, Instagram, and a host of others. And in paid advertising, we could consider Google AdWords, Facebook ads, retargeting, sponsorship, video, banners, and so much more. So now, not only do you have the core, but you also have the subsets of the subsets and the subsets of the core. How do you know what to do first, then second, then third, and why? And how can you know for sure what impact each action will have? In the marketing field today, some supposed marketing guru comes along and says, hey, if you want to grow your business, you should start running a Facebook ad. Well, really? Is that the best option if we're considering the increase to our lead flow? I don't know, because I don't know your business yet. But what I do know is that gurus and ads offering a solution to grow a business without doing a thorough diagnostic is similar to a doctor giving drugs to a patient without doing an exam. It's just malpractice. Knowing all this stuff is just the beginning. Heck, you can type into ChatGPT and get any information you want at any time. But do you have the right information in the right order with consistent action and follow through? That's where it gets tricky. Are you feeling overwhelmed and stuck in a maze of tasks and lacking time to strategize? You're not alone. Before I was the business chaos sorter, I was up to my eyeballs in chaos myself, feeling paralyzed by indecision and unable to focus on what the future could be because I was inundated with staff problems and low profits. Look, owning a business is not easy, and I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you, but you can do it. If you're ready to take massive action, I invite you to apply to the Her First Million 5-Day Focus. During this 5-day immersion, you'll learn how to ease overwhelm and sort through the chaos to grow your business to 7 figures, or really whatever size you want. Plus, you'll be doing it with a whole lot of fun people who are disrupting industry standards and scaling to new heights. Come ride the entrepreneurial roller coaster with us. Join the Her First Million 5-Day Focus. Open for registration now.